A few years ago, while visiting a center working with unaccompanied minors seeking asylum here in the UK, I met a young Sudanese man named Amid. And what he said to me that day, I will always remember. During a discussion with other young people, he turned to me and said, "People here don't seem to care about me." I asked him why he thought this. He explained that when you walk down the street in Sudan, people talk to you. If you see a fight, you go and stop the fight. If someone is sick, you stop and help him. If someone is hungry, you give him food. But it is different here. No one speaks to me on the street. People look away when I pass them by. No one seems to care about me. Now, Amid's words were painful, and I could relate to him on some level, as I am also a foreigner. I would not, however, for a moment pretend to relate with a young teenage refugee far away from his family and all that was familiar. I explained to him that it takes time to adapt to a new culture. And I said it's not that people don't care, it's that they are simply a bit more reserved here than they are in Sudan. It just takes longer to make friends, but once you do, these friends will last. And I also told him that his observations reminded me of a story from the Bible. And I went on to tell him the familiar story of the Good Samaritan, found in our gospel just a few chapters before today's reading. And I asked Amid what he thought about the story, and if this story was told in Sudan today, who would he relate with? Now, I expected him to say that he and his family would relate with the Good Samaritan, the one who helped the man on the side of the road. But he didn't say this. Amid said he was like the man lying in the street. He was in the street alone before people came to help him. They helped him walk across his country and eventually travel to England. Amid's story, however, did not end like the Good Samaritan. He is still waiting for his wounds to heal. And although he may not be aware of it, he is also helping others, people's wounds to heal. He is making impact on the lives of people around him, and he certainly did this for me. Now, I like to think that my experience, education, and travels help me to see and understand faith through the eyes of others. But my experience with Amid jolted me in the reality that I do not. I not only experience the life of faith as an American living in England who has never known the reality of poverty, but this severely limits my understanding. And a fuller understanding of the faith as it relates to people like Amid can only occur through genuine interaction with them. And this is the idea behind our ministry here of the Welcome Boxes, the outreach we have to refugees in London. The vision is simple. We welcome others because God has welcomed us. And today's gospel reading points us in this direction. Luke tells a rather unusual story. The Sadducees have come to Jesus with a question. They are concerned about what he has been saying about resurrection and eternal life. And so they ask, "In the resurrection, who will be the husband of a woman who has been married 7 times? Now, the Sadducees are making reference to a Jewish marriage law. When a man dies, his widow is given in marriage to his brother as a way of ensuring her security. The woman in this story, however, has not only been married 7 times, she also dies childless. In the eyes of the law, she has failed to fulfill her purpose in carrying on the family line, bringing shame on herself and upon her family." That it is the Sadducees who ask this question is also important to the story. They were a sect of Judaism that believed neither in the resurrection nor eternal life. And it seems they are trying to trap Jesus with their question. Jesus, however, does not fall into their trap, but as he often does, he turns the question on its head. When the dead are raised, there will be no giving in marriage. For Jesus, the concern is not with the rules of marriage, but with eternal life, resurrection life. And this is good news. And for a woman with seven husbands, the promise of resurrection would be great news. No longer would she be the burden of others or the property of others. She would be free because death is no longer a threat. And death is no longer a threat because God is the God of the living. And the fact that God is the God of the living gives us hope. Now, Job knew this hope. You might remember his story. Job lost everything, his family, his home, his livelihood. His life seemed to crumble as every day went by. And what's more, he received little compassion from his friends. Job struggled with God. He questioned God, but he never lost his faith in God. He knew that God was much bigger than his experience, much bigger than himself. For Job says in the midst of his suffering, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last I shall see God." This was Job's hope, and it is our hope. We may not know what eternal life looks like, but we can imagine. We can imagine a life free from pain, from hunger, from violence, and a life free from death. And we can imagine a life caught up forever in relationship with God, who loves us more than we can ever imagine. And living in the reality of this hope gives us freedom to love and welcome others. When we think of the complexity of the world today, it often seems there is nothing we can do. But as a community of faith, we can do something. We can welcome others and allow them to welcome us. The other week at St. Peter's School, the children gave Ralph and me cards and crafts that they had made in their classes. And they did this as part of Thank Your Vicar Week. Now, this was a great surprise because neither Ralph nor I knew that it was Thank Your Vicar Week. And it was a lovely and very moving as each class came forward and presented us with the gifts and the cards. And later in the week, as we looked through these cards, one stuck out to me in particular. And what it says encapsulates everything that I've been trying to say today. The card reads, "Thank you for helping us to be better children. Please pray that people without a home will get a home. Please pray that people without a country will get a country. And please pray for us that we will love them." Amen.